Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Community leaders in Rapid City hope a centralized campus for the city's homeless population will both save money down the road and potentially reduce homelessness. The proposed idea for a restoration and transformation center near downtown seeks to combine city, county, nonprofit, and homeless services providers. But the concept, which is still in the beginning stages, is drawing some skepticism. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Rapid City Mayor Steve Allender says addressing homelessness in Rapid City takes more than just feeding people. He says solving the issue is more complex. So he calls up an image.
Imagine a man starving, undernourished, chained to a wall, unable to leave, unable to help himself. The current system of homeless services tends to feed that man so that he doesn't starve to death. The new system that I envision will seek to cut those chains.
Those chains, Allender says, are addiction, mental illness, lack of treatment, lack of self-esteem, and barriers that cause a multi-generational mentality of homelessness in life. That's where the Restoration and Transformation Centers come in. They're technically two separate entities that, when used as imagined, could help care for the city's chronic homeless and even get them back onto their feet, supporters say. The idea for this campus is partly modeled after Haven for Hope in San Antonio. It's a 22-acre campus just west of downtown San Antonio that opened in 2010. At capacity, around 1,700 homeless people live there.
It is a collection of services on the campus, and I think a good description is what I hear often people say that live there, and they say, everything I need is here.
That's president of Haven for Hope, Kenny Wilson. He says those services include counseling, ID recovery,
and financial counseling, and job readiness training, health care, dental care, activities for their children, on and on.
Wilson says the Haven for Hope campus costs about $101 million to build and has an annual operating budget of $20 million. Those seeking entry into Haven for Hope must be drug and alcohol free and can stay in an intake area until they're sober. They're also required to work with a case manager toward a goal of self-sufficient life and participate in activities that lead to that sufficiency, like education and job training. The scope is much smaller in Rapid City. According to the South Dakota Housing for the Homeless, in January of last year, Rapid City had about 300 homeless people. The restoration and transformation centers are designed for two different types of people, homeless and chronic nonviolent offenders. The restoration center is envisioned for the latter and will operate on the county level. This center is part of a $1.75 million MacArthur Foundation grant to reduce the county's jail population. The restoration center will give chronic, repeat low-level offenders, mostly drug and alcohol-related, a bed to sober up in. Pennington County Sheriff Kevin Tome says the center is a more cost-effective way to handle this population as opposed to throwing them in jail for the night.
In terms of just housing, to put them in a safe bed as opposed to jail. Then you look at the overall system cost. You know, somebody gets a criminal charge, goes into the system, a low-level offense, you have, you know, state's attorney time, public defender time, you have court time, you know, law enforcement time. This is a way to hopefully maybe find a more effective way to deal with that particular segment of our population we deal with in our criminal justice system.
Tome says the restoration center should be up and running full-time by June of 2018. It's the idea by Rapid City Collective Impact to consolidate the rest of the homeless services in one centralized location, down the sidewalk from the restoration center. These services are proposed to be across the street from the Pennington County Complex on Kansas City Street, just east of downtown. Both the restoration and transformation centers are proposed to operate on a 4-acre campus in separate buildings surrounded by a chain-linked fence. Charity Doyle is with Rapid City Collective Impact.
We have wonderful providers in this community that are working hard to meet the needs of these people every single day. But it's spending money on folks over and over and over and over again and not getting them anywhere. They're facing the same barriers tomorrow and next year that they did the year before. So clearly we need to take a different approach.
Doyle says this project is just in the beginning phase. The group did announce their desired location, just next to the Restoration Center, in November. She says Collective Impact is still searching for funding sources, but says consolidating services into one location will result in an immediate savings for the community.
When you think of where all that money's coming from, philanthropy, our faith-based community, I mean, some of it's our governing agencies, but most of it is the good hearts and, you know, kindness of our community. And we just don't know how sustainable it is. We need to start moving the needle in the right direction. These people are crying for help. They want a system that can help them break these cycles for good, not just Band-Aid them for another week or two.
This is something the city is on board with also. Mayor Allender has already suggested the city will commit $7 million to help purchase the Transformation Center building on campus. Mayor Allender says the campus will essentially reduce foot traffic downtown and fits in with future projects in the downtown area.
It will take two major points off of this pedestrian triangle that we have going downtown. And it is actually farther away from the School of Mines than the current Mission is. It'll certainly be farther away from the new Innovation Center that will be coming up in the next year or so. So it is really an improvement to the situation.
The pedestrian triangle Allender mentions is one from the Cornerstone Rescue Mission to the Hope Center and to Memorial Park along Rapid Creek. One thing is for sure, community leaders want to prevent that triangle from going back to square one. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City.
There are some in Rapid City who are concerned about aggregating homeless services into one location. For example, the size of the campus near downtown and how the project gets funded. SDPP's Lee Strupinger sat down with State Representative David Lust to talk about those concerns.
You know, we need to see what other cities have experienced and really have a debate about whether having a large campus, a 4.5-acre campus devoted to people who clearly have problems and need help, whether that's the best approach, whether aggregating those folks and those services is the best approach. And I think a very legitimate argument can be made that the history of these type of projects has been a dispersal, not aggregation. And to the extent it's benefiting, aggregation benefits anyone, it seems like a primary focus is the providers, benefiting the providers and making it easier for them to co-locate in one location. And to me, the focus should be on what is best for those people in need, not those who are serving the people in need, but the actual people who are the recipients of that service.
A lot of the concern that I've heard is definitely about like the location of it being near downtown. I've heard from supporters who kind of say that, you know, this is where the issue is. And also the location kind of being across from all the county services would be ideal in terms of law enforcement being able to react to something like that happening, I guess. Could you maybe address the concern about that?
Yeah, so location is really the second factor that is concerning in addition to the scope and size. And they dovetail a little bit. Again, you know, as you just referenced it, we talk about the convenience for law enforcement. Well, just simply because it's across from existing law enforcement, county and the police department, to me is way down the list of importance. Again, you should focus on the needs of that community, not the convenience for law enforcement and other service providers, but the location. You know, it's a compatibility question, and hopefully the debate can rise above you know kind of the shallow accusations of not in my backyard to a larger focus on what are we trying to do downtown. And there's a very vibrant effort. We are east of 5th as we do this interview. There's been a vibrant effort to develop east of 5th in downtown Rapid City and connecting downtown with the School of Mines. Well, is putting this facility, this campus for the homeless and near homeless, essentially right in the center of that connection between downtown and School of Mines, is that a prudent decision? Is that a compatible use? It seems on its face to be incongruent with what the city's been trying to do for the last, certainly 3, 4, 5 years in developing east of 5th. The best part about this whole discussion is that everybody recognizes something should be done. I've not talked to anyone that says, you know what, we should just bury our head in the sand and this problem will go away. Everyone on both sides of the location issue, the size issue, and the funding issue that I've talked to genuinely are concerned about this population and want to do something.
What might be a alternative that's mm-hmm. out there that's being talked about?
It comes to that aggregation versus dispersal concept. I mean, is it prudent to build a campus and a focal point of for housing, whether it be a temporary or low income, or is it more practical to disperse that housing component throughout the community? I firmly believe it makes more sense to spread that around. And I think that's really been the history of urban development for the last 20 years. When I lived in Chicago, Cabrini Green was still there, and they tore that down and dispersed that community to different parts of suburbs and throughout the urban area, and I think has worked fairly well. Certainly has minimized the amount of, you know, gang presence and drugs and violence. You know, that's a model maybe we should consider. That then raises the issue of transportation, but you've got to kind of tackle these issues one by one in a comprehensive fix. My concern about the scope and location of this project is we're trying to hit the home run when really it may be more practical to hit a series of singles and wade into this problem than try to solve it, you know, in a year and a half as opposed to 5 or 10 years, which will be a more, in my mind, be a more sustainable fix than some large aggregation and campus concept.
And then we were also talking a little bit about some of the funding. I guess what are some of the figures that are being thown out there that you've seen and some of the concern about how this would be paid for?
The city's downstroke is $7 million, a one-time $7 million contribution. And I think we need to have a really honest conversation about the likelihood of the city and the county not being asked to contribute to this campus in the future. I think it's naive to think that a downstroke of $7 million plus one-time private money is going to be all there is. It's not a fair assertion to make that that's all that will be necessary. Clearly, there's going to be ongoing funding from the city and ongoing funding from the county, and there probably should be. But we need to be honest about that discussion and say, you know, this may require the city to contribute, you know, this much each year on an ongoing basis to fill the gap that private funding won't satisfy. You know, I firmly believe that if we could have more money devoted to personnel rather than buildings and grounds, I think we'd get better results. You know, have more caseworkers, have more people assisting these people wherever they're located, not just on a centralized campus. And ultimately, I think that one of the big concerns I've heard from people is there's just simply no information or data out there about the scope of this thing, what the outcomes may be. You know, we should be founding our decisions upon information and data and experiences of other communities. I don't necessarily have the sense that that's what we're doing. I know the Haven for Hope model in San Antonio is often held up as kind of the paragon. But, you know, is that a realistic comparison given the size of their community, the demographics of their community, the demographics of our community? Is that even a legitimate comparison? I don't know, but I think we should examine that data. And there's a lot out there from Haven for Hope and from other communities like Portland that we really need to dive into before we make a huge commitment to either a location or a size and a financial commitment as well.
Representative David Loss, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.